the way. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Boys are back in town.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop.
Nice.
We broadcast at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, podcast comicbookdaily.com, and we podcast at, we think, getthepointradio.com.
Possibly. We still need to look into that.
Yeah. And I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are just servants of the great Shecky.
Oh, absolutely. To my left and to your right, the great Shecky Feldstein.
I wish you actually did one thing I ever told you to do.
We're working on that, Shecky. Yeah. We're working on
well,
it.
The things
servants usually obey.
The things you tell me to do, I can't really do by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
Just saying.
I don't even know what you're talking about right now. Chris, why don't you elaborate the things I try to get you to
do? Well, once again, I'm not going to follow what you ask me to do.
Listen, the love-in continues here on Comic Culture. We gather here every week with worldwide fans.
Gather. Yeah.
And we talk comics. We talk – what else do we talk about?
Comic book industry.
Comic book industry. Comic stuff.
Yeah.
We do a wide gamut of stuff.
We do. We talk about movies.
Movies.
Generally comic book related.
We do so much stuff. We're like double stuff Oreos. Like, there's so much stuff crammed in.
Really, it is.
Between two ends.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, there's three of us.
Well, you and I are both the
who's
ends.
Who's the cream filling?
That would be Shecky over on the end there.
Shecky, the sweet cream filling Shecky.
Yeah,
you're right. I got you both coming at me from both sides there.
Both coming
at me. That's right. Yeah, listen, hey, you know what? Listen, let's quickly get into new this week. And Shecky, there is a sponsor for new this week.
Absolutely. How else do we stay on the air there, Chris? New this week brought to you by fall, because just when life gets depressing by going back to school, it also gets colder and darker by the day.
Very true.
Thanks, Shaq.
Thanks for that reminder how it's going to be dark at 6 o'clock now.
We should have a good show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bleak. It's bleak, guys.
All right. Yeah, speaking of bleak, so anyway, how's our show doing today so far?
Listen,
pretty good?
We're off to a good start.
All right.
Shaq and I, Chris, you
you guys went to Montreal.
Yeah, you left us. We'll talk about Montreal later in the show. But Shecky and I are back in town.
Yes.
You never left town.
No, I never left.
I heard they tried to run you out of town.
That's happened a few times, but never successfully.
No. So anyway, why don't you take us through some comics that are hitting the local comic book shop today.
Okay, so the first one I want to talk about today is it's from DC. This is by Grant Morrison and Chris Sprouse. This is hot on the heels of the whole Multiversity book. It's The Society of Superheroes. And this is kind of an interesting book.
Society of Superheroes.
Yeah, do you remember DC's always good for like they had the Secret Society of Supervillains.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, that all those kind
that
of like societies.
Sell.
And no, well, nor should it. Actually, it's a good looking book. Wasn't that Garcia Lopez or something like that?
Yeah, nobody buys it.
Yeah, I know. It's old.
I got it in my bins and nobody's sitting there.
Hey, I'll buy them off you. How much you want? 25 cents?
50 bucks.
Ooh. No wonder they're not selling. All right, listen. This is an interesting book by Grant Morrison. As it's part of the Multiversity. So the Multiversity in the DC universe is, it's like, what if it wasn't the real DC universe? What if there's like other universes out there with similar types of characters and that kind of thing? It's the multiverse. So you got different types of the same character, if that makes any sense at all.
None.
All right. Well, listen, this one is, it's sort of starting things off, and it's got characters like Dr. Fate and the Atom. It's a good-looking book. There's a character called Immortal Man.
Immortal Man.
Immortal Man.
But what are his powers, Chris?
The ability to stay immortal.
Oh.
That guy's been around forever.
He's been there. He's done that.
That guy's got staying power.
I don't want to give too much away, but like there's solid characters that have been around in the DC universe for a long time, like Vandal Savage. There's a Green Lantern type character here. I don't want to give too much away, but it's an interesting read. And again, by Grant Morrison and Chris Sprouse. Pick it up. It's a good looking book too.
All right, Society of Superheroes, available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. sort of on the, in a similar vein here, we've got The Edge of the Spider-Verse. And this is, again, it's
the
sort of...
The Edge of like, Wetness.
The Edge of what?
You should be on Carson. I used to have a skit called The Edge of Wetness.
Right.
That's what I thought you were getting into. But oh. I cut you off. I apologize.
That's all right.
Wait, wait.
Over to you.
Wait, you had me at Edge of Wetness. What's that about now, Walt?
It was on The Tonight Show.
Yeah. And what'd they feature? Was it like a bikini contest?
He would go out. He would go out. He did a lot better than we did. He actually entertained people. He he would go out into the audience and do a... It was like a soap opera, a fake soap opera. So they would scan to a picture of some sort of middle-aged guy with a big mustache, and they would say, and Bob Smith here, and they would make some stupid thing about him.
Right.
And it would lead into some old lady, and, you know, he's fooling around with Elma Thompson, you know, and they just on and on like that. It was called The Edge of Wetness.
Edge of Wetness.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Whew. That was a long, long...
Wow.
I feel like there's something missing to that story, but
so
anyway.
So do I.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, listen.
Humor.
This is... I want to talk about The Edge of the Spider-Verse, and this is Gwen Stacy as Spider-Woman.
Yes.
Great-looking book, I got to say. Wow, I really love the art on this book.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
The book before was a great-looking book.
This one's even better.
Is it better?
This one's better.
Can I just add, before you say that, the cover looks like garbage.
You don't even know anything about comics, do you?
You're holding the book, and you're opening it and reading it right now to actually try and read it for the first time.
Not true.
That is not true.
Maybe or maybe not. Either way, I'm looking at that cover, and it looks terrible.
What do you know anything? First of all, you don't know anything about comics. So
that's correct. That's correct.
Let's just continue on with...
On my first day of art class in grade 10.
Yeah.
This is another story that doesn't have a punchline.
Miss Sanders. I think her name was Miss Sanders. Boy, she was quite the whip. But she, when we came in and she said to us, she goes, hey, just so you know, you guys, everyone in this room, you're all blind.
All blind?
You don't know how to see.
Okay.
By the end of this term, you will know how to see art.
Interesting.
It's like Schexter here.
Yeah.
He's blind.
He is. He's totally blind.
Does not see the beauty of that cover.
I heard someone say that same sort of thing. You cannot see... because you're all blind, unless you send me $49.95 in three separate payments plus shipping and handling,
right.
And I'll teach you how to see.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, that was on an infomercial.
No,
yeah.
Totally wrong.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh. Well, anyway, that cover looks good. Don't see the checky.
By Robbie Rodriguez is the artist. Jason Latour is the writer.
Uh-huh.
And so basically the biggest threat of Spider-Man is coming. And again, this is sort of like a different type of story here. There's a whole series of this Spider-Verse. It goes on in Superior Spider-Man. It goes on Amazing Spider-Man. Sorry, Spider-Man 2099. Amazing Spider-Man
Noir.
Sure, no, but it's kind of neat. It's Gwen Stacy's playing Spider-Woman, and not playing, but is Spider-Woman, and she's in a band with Mary Jane, and the band's called the Mary Janes. It's just it's an interesting take on the whole Mary Jane, Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy canon.
I'm gonna throw it out there. I know only, you know, maybe 3.5 people listen to this radio show,
sure.
Podcast, however they listen to this information. I want you to actually, even if you don't buy it, go out to the comic book store and look at the cover of this book and comment if you think this actually looks like a good book or not.
Nice.
I'm very underwhelmed by
the cover. Challenge from Shecky Feldstein.
Challenge.
That's a Shecky challenge.
I like it. I like the cover.
Edge of Spider-Verse.
Edge of Madness.
Number 2 is available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay. And finally on my hit parade here, I've got Jim Henson's The Storytale, Tale 1 of 4. It's The Storytale Witches.
Who's that?
This is...
Jim Henson?
This is a beautiful book. I don't want to show it to Shecky because he's going to think it's like, you know, someone pooped on it. No, you're not seeing it.
I already looked at it, and I was going to say, this actually looks a lot better than the last one you just talked about.
You're
dead to me.
You're dead to me. So anyways, it's a great looking book. It's like a children's fairy tale storybook kind of thing. It's got great watercolor paintings in it. Did
Asad Ribic do it?
You'd think, eh? It was actually written, illustrated, and lettered by a guy named S.M. Vajiri.
Oh, S&M Vajiri. That sounds wrong to me.
Hey. Everybody loves the old S&M. Everybody loves the old S&M.
Why don't you buy him a cognac, see where that leads you?
Yeah. Probably a lot better. Anyway, keep
going.
Anyways,
listen, it's a great looking book, and it's like a fairy tale. It's got woodland creatures in it. It's just a really awesome book.
This is a good looking book. This is called Jim Henson's The Storyteller, Witches. And it's available at your local comic book shop today. And please head out to your local comic book store. Support your local comic book retailer, especially on Wednesday's New Comic Day.
All right, listen, we're going to have a quick musical interlude, and then we will get right back to industry news.
Lude.
Here we go.
Suis peut-être pas connu dans la noblesse ou chez les snobs. Quand on veut me trouver, faut qu'on s'adresse dans tous les petits bars. On lit mon nom sur toutes les glaces et sur les ardoises des bistrots. Le tabac du coin, c'est mon palace. Où le soir je retrouve mes poteaux, ma pomme, c'est moi, je suis plus heureux qu'un roi, je ne me fais jamais de mousse, en douce, je me pousse les hommes, je le croise, font du souci, pourquoi? Car pour...
Oh yeah, that was of course by the great Pepe Le Pew.
Ah, I love his work.
And it's a great segue, Chris, into industry news, which Shecky has a sponsor for, no?
Absolutely. Industry news.
Go ahead.
Brought to you by Thursdays in Montreal. Are you a fragile young adult male? Have no fear. Thursdays will help you find a loving caregiver away from home.
Oh,
nice.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
So, of course, that was a French little ditty there.
By Maurice Chevalier,
Maurice Chevalier.
Yes, and that was, of course, an homage to Shecky and Mines attending.
Mines?
That sounded very German, awfully German
Mines
to me there.
Yeah. Attending the Montreal Comic Con. We set up at the Montreal Comic Con as a Big B Comics, and we had the people from Captain Canuck
right beside
us.
And how did that go?
Well, it went well.
The whole show?
The whole show went very,
Three-day show.
Shecky and I rolled into town. Red carpet. Hey, when
we come into town.
You know, Guy Lafleur was there to meet us.
Guy. Oh, he's my favorite.
Hey, you need some cigarette? No, Guy, I'm trying to cut down. So we rolled in. We set up Friday. The show opened. So I got to tell you, so we have to give big shout-outs, Shecky and I.
We got lots of shout-outs. There was so much love when we rolled into Montreal.
So much, no. Amour.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Amour.
Yeah.
Amore.
They know I don't speak French. It's okay. Yeah.
So much love. And so we rolled into town, and we were greeted very warmly by our good friend Angelo. Angelo.
French connection. Who doesn't like being referred to as our French connection,
right.
But that's his term.
Okay.
He's got to understand.
All right.
He's our French connection.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Angelo, of course, we met him last year.
Right.
At the con. And like everybody does when they meet us, Chris, they fall in love with us.
Well, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
And so Angelo fell in love with us.
What was Bonhomme de Neige there?
He was there.
Nice.
Is it a he or she?
I think it's a he.
He?
Yeah.
They were both there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So Angelo, you know, I mean, I spurned his advances, but I think we got along afterwards.
Wait. What was the word?
I'm not sure. Just let me keep talking, will you?
Okay.
So what Angelo and I talked about via email before the show was, let's set up a panel on comic book investing.
Okay, right.
So Angelo sets up this panel on comic book investing.
Okay.
And Angelo's assistant, the beautiful, beautiful, talented Tammy.
Tammy.
Yeah, who Shecky fell in love with naturally.
Oh.
Yeah, but
she was a very endearing woman.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And very intelligent and very, very capable. And she really set this up for us.
Nice.
Right? And we had the worst time possible. I think we had a 3:45 panel on the Friday.
Oh, okay.
And
what's wrong with that?
It's the first day. It's in the afternoon. People aren't off work yet.
It's 1 o'clock VIP.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Right.
3
okay.
o'clock all access.
Right.
But you see cons, Chris. It takes 2 hours to filter in.
Yep.
So, we're in trouble. So, Angelo, you know, comes by the booth. We go, hey, man, if we get like 8 people, you know, Angelo. Because Angelo, he's a Paisan, right? He's got Vinny,
right,
his cousin.
And
I don't know who else. Guido, his cousin. I don't know. A whole bunch of guys are his cousin.
Tony,
his cousin. He's got a whole bunch of guys over there. So, we're hoping for 8-9 people.
Nice.
So, Angelo comes and gets me. We got to go up to the room.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's all nervous. It's like, Angelo, what's going on, man? What's going on? Somebody after you? He goes, no. There's like actually people in front of the room. I go, is it our room?
They're waiting.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, it's our room. I goes, like, is there more than 8? He goes, yeah. So we get up there, and according to Angelo's count, we get 111 people
in
the panel.
Really?
Yeah.
That you were like in charge of?
Well, no, Angelo was in charge of. He was
the
moderator.
You were speaking.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So
yeah, but see, they only got that many people because they didn't put Walt's name on the billing.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
They put Tammy's picture.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
Really smart.
Yeah, very smart.
Yeah. So we got in, and there was a young gentleman named Chris. I forget his last name, and he's from Winnipeg.
Okay.
And he was on the panel with me.
Nice.
And he had knowledge of comics as well as mine. But
yep.
So Tammy sets up these pictures of, you know, old covers. And so we start going into our spiel why comics are worth money.
Yeah.
You know? And
why are comics worth money?
I have no idea.
Okay,
but you know what? The way the people were kind of listening, I don't think any of them spoke English that were at the thing.
Wait. Was Tammy also in this panel?
No. Oh, she was sitting down.
Maybe that's why they're all still there.
She was sitting down looking longingly up at the pictures of the books.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What'd you think? So anyway, the panel went really well. The time flew by. We did not have enough time to discuss everything we wanted to discuss.
Nice.
And even afterwards, I was at the booth. Me and Shecky were at the booth because I was at the booth the whole time. Shecky goes away and he never comes back.
Right, yeah, I know.
Terrible guy to work with.
What?
So anyway, hey, let's... I got the mic right now.
Yeah.
So Pete Dixon, who popped into the panel to learn something,
well,
I think.
Well, he does need to learn a little bit about comics.
Yeah.
It's true.
So he comes by later. He goes, hey, Walt, guys are popping by my booth saying, hey, there's this great panel that went on and stuff. And it was like coolest thing I ever heard because they were talking about how to buy a comic. It was cool. It was a really fun thing. But I really, really have to thank Angelo.
Yep.
And I really, really have to thank Tank.
Tank.
Hey, yo, Tammy, I want to thank you a lot. You know? Yo, Adrian. I thank Tammy because without them two, they set everything up. They organized everything. They made the panel what it was.
Right.
And I think they were selling tickets outside too.
I think you're onto something new here for a new career, Walt. I think you need to start going on infomercials and start
I gotta be on a yacht.
Bikini girls behind me.
Yeah.
You just come to me. I'll tell you how to invest.
You can make a lot of money. Yeah.
They're sitting on the hood of a Ferrari on a yacht.
That's right.
Out in the Caribbean.
Yeah. That's it.
Walt's got gold chains around him. Nothing else. No
bling.
Clothes.
That's right.
Just
bling.
Gold chains. Yeah.
He's got to, you know, and then he can start having like, you know, those at the hotels. Now speaking, Walter Duralia.
Yeah. Well, no, listen, it was something that Angelo came up with that really, really worked. I think it went off beautifully, and it was a nice surprise.
Nice.
And it was a great start to the weekend. And, of course, that night, Shecky and I went out with Angelo was with another Montreal dealer named Angelo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Angelo squared.
Angelo squared.
Well, I called one Ange, and I called the other one.
Low.
Yo.
Oh. Nice.
And Tammy, we all went out for a nice dinner.
Nice. Where'd you go?
The night. Not sure.
Oh, okay.
I think
we don't really recall it too well.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the start of Montreal. But Montreal, like Shecky and I, the back issue market is
strong,
is healthy in Montreal. Yeah. There's collectors. There people come by and they come by the booth and they dig through the bins and they look on the wall and they, you know, haggle with the price.
Combien?
$100. Mon Dieu, sacré cœur, $100. Qu'est-ce que tu fais? Est-ce que tu es un idiot?
And you said,
Vandala!
You said, will that be cash or credit?
Yeah, will that be cash or credit? So, yeah, so it was great. It was great. The Montreal people are great people. Just the participation at the con, Chris.
Nice.
Everybody's enjoying themselves.
Now,
it's just like Toronto.
How big is the con? Like,
I don't know. I'll have to phone or email the
promoter. Well, you went around. Like, okay.
I would say, 30,000 for the weekend, Shecky, over 3 days?
It's tough to say. What did they do last year? Do you remember what they did last year?
Okay,
it's
so
like
25
to
30.
Like,
you know,
and this
like,
was about as big as last year.
Bigger than Hamilton, obviously.
Yeah, oh, lots bigger.
It's bigger than Niagara.
Bigger than Niagara. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but not as big as Toronto, obviously.
Obviously not. No.
Okay, all right. Yeah, okay, good.
I think the Toronto attendance came out. It's 127.9.
Wow.
Yeah, 128,000 people.
It's craziness.
But it's over 4 days, so that's about...
and they open up that second hall and everything. Yeah. They gain
about
more
32,000 a day at Toronto.
Yeah.
I think the Montreal one got easily over 10,000 a day,
nice.
But it's over 3 days,
nice,
right?
Nice.
So I'd say maybe it's a third the size of the Toronto con.
Yeah. Good,
but,
good.
I mean, the guest list was awesome. You had Shatner. You had Patrick Stewart. You had... who the hell else did
where in Toronto, I mean, or Montreal?
Montreal.
They had all those guys too?
No, they didn't have all those guys.
Okay, never mind.
You're reading.
Oh, yeah. No, they had Yvon Cornwallier, I think, there. And
they had Yvon Cornwallier there?
Yeah,
Guy Lafleur.
Simon Comics.
Martin Brodeur.
Martin Brodeur was there. Bonjour.
No. You're getting, you know what, you're getting all your channels.
I think Yves Saint Laurent was there.
Yeah, Louis Riel.
Louis Riel was there.
Right. Yeah, okay.
And
Samuel de Champlain.
Yeah, Samuel de Champlain. And Maurice Chevalier was the headliner, I think. I'm not sure.
All right, awesome. Well, I'm great. I'm really glad to hear that you guys had a good time in Montreal. Hey, and listen, if you are still interested in going to a con, there's still few cons left to go to.
Yeah, it's not over.
It's not quite over yet. There's a big one in New York coming up, but that one's already all sold out.
Start so spreading.
If you can't go to New York, you know what? There's Hamilton. There's the Hamilton cons coming up. When is that? October the 4th, is it?
October the 4th.
October the 4th.
It's like last resort betting.
Well, you know what?
When everything else fails,
hey, there's always Hamilton.
You can come to Hamilton.
That's right.
Don't you knock the hammer, because this is a cool place.
And this is a good show, and you know, this is the second year. The first year was a big success.
Big.
Second year, now we're going to have Lou Ferrigno and Julie Newmars coming to this show. We've got a bunch of awesome.
Vern
Troyer is going to be there. I think Leonard Kirk's going to be there.
So we know the promoter guys for Hamilton show.
Yeah.
You know, because Shecky and I, we're connected.
Yeah.
We know all the top people.
Top men.
And and then we know a couple of the old cops down there at the cop station.
Down there at the cop station,
and,
eh?
What they're doing at the cop station is they're, I believe, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but we're going to say it anyway because we're cutting edge. They're going to deputize Ferrigno.
Nice.
On the Friday to be an honorary officer of the Hamilton Police.
Oh, cool.
So does that mean they're going to get him to like do traffic duty? He's going to be with the whistle
maybe
in his mouth at intersection?
That'd be great. Whistle?
Whistle? Okay. No. but so I go because, you know, I'm a really
big Ferrigno fan.
Proactive.
He's an Arnold
fan.
Come on.
I'm an Arnold fan.
Yeah.
But I'm an excellent businessman.
Hey, he's a Ferrigno fan too. He's got his autograph.
I'm a Ferrigno fan.
Yeah, come on now. I know Walt.
I've got a picture with him, but I will tell him to his face, Arnold's my number one, Lou. I'm sorry.
Listen, I know what I'm doing in the world of business. So I go to the guys and go, hey, guys.
Yeah.
We're all chummy.
Yeah.
Why don't you get Lou on the Friday night because he's doing the police thing during the day? Why don't you get him up to the comic shop?
Nice.
Up on Upper James.
Yes, you should.
For a store signing. Thinking it'd be a nice to coupe de resistance.
And?
What do they say?
And they go, yeah, we can make it happen. $4,000.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, chump change for a guy like you, right? Chump.
So I said, oh, you know what? My wife just texted me. We have a wedding that night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not the Lou Ferrigno.
So that's not happening.
At the shop isn't happening. Yeah. But, yeah, the Hamilton Comic Con, though, is a great con to attend. It's a one-day con. You get all that kind of full effect.
You can get your feet wet. I will be there in some capacity. I'll be either working the show with you guys, or if not, I'll just be hanging around.
We don't know about that.
So you'll be hanging around.
I'll probably be hanging around.
Yeah.
It's just a great show to go to, so we invite everybody listening to attend the Hamilton Comic Con.
Yep.
The Three Amigos here will be there, apparently, and it's a great time to come up and say hi.
Perfect.
And if you want, get in line if you want to ask me some comic investing questions.
The line will be short, don't worry.
What will be short?
Our next musical interlude will be short.
All right.
Let's have a quick musical interlude here. What do you got lined up for us there, Shexter?
Thank heaven.
Well, you know what Walt looks for. Girl.
Oh, yeah, we need to hear that. Let's go.
Yeah, no more French.
Oh, okay.
That was my favorite part, and you cut it off.
Oh, sorry.
You guys even sing the same song?
You cut it off.
I would never cut it. Here, let me help you out with that.
All right. Hey, that's Krantz. I got my fix, so I'm
right.
Good.
Good, right. Good. Hey, listen, you know what? I actually played Krantz in my class the other day.
Nice.
I did. I had them.
How many kids rebelled?
Nobody even knew what it was.
You don't rebel to Krantz.
Yeah.
You get into a trance.
Yeah. Well, I had them doing like a group work thing,
yoga,
and they were so quiet. They were almost too quiet.
Yeah.
They're all so intense in what they were doing that it was kind of eerie in the classroom. So I thought I got to play some music, and of course I've always got the Krantz on me.
Yeah.
So I started playing the Krantz, and it had a nice little cool vibe as they were getting their work done. It was fun. It was a good day.
Beautiful. All right. Their grade point average went up 8 points.
At least.
Thanks, Krantz.
All right, listen, we're on to some more industry news, and Shexter's got some sponsors for us.
You know I do. So this part, second part of industry news, brought to you by Comic-Con Hamilton. Lou Ferrigno will be there, so you should too. Otherwise, he'll find you and Hulk smash you.
That's very true. He might Hulk smash you.
That might have been a haiku. I don't know. They may have sent me a haiku to read.
What's a haiku?
I don't know, Isn't that the thing that you have to, with the numbers add up to 9 in the box?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Play your daily haiku.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's all about the box.
That stuff is hard, but hey.
It is. It's true.
All right.
What are we talking about, Chris?
All right, listen. We got to talk. You know what? Captain America, Duziem, the second one, came out this week.
Captain
no,
America,
wait, came out last week. Sorry, came out last week.
Yeah. Leave it to you to not even week. Know your favorite character's
came out,
films.
Oh, shush.
Wait came a minute. Like, came out on DVD?
Came out on DVD last week.
Okay.
You know what? I said this week because I actually watched it again a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
It came out last week. And so now there's all this talk about what's going on for the next Captain America movie.
Well, they talked about it, talked about it, talked about it, talked about it.
Boop, 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 boop. Anyways.
Gotta move on.
I'd like to move on. So Captain America comes out, the Winter Soldier I'm talking about here. And now they're talking about how the Winter Soldier has kind of set the stage for next May's Avengers Age of Ultron. Now,
sure
it's
has.
Kind of true and kind of not true because, of course, we had Guardians of the Galaxy in there as well, and I'm sure that's going to play some role in some degree into the next Avengers movie.
Right, because Thanos is a cosmic sort of character.
Yeah.
And they're going to cosmic. Because he was in the Guardians. Spoiler alert. You know, he had an element in the
Guardians of the Galaxy
film.
He was at the end of the last Avengers movie, so I'm sure he'll be somewhere.
Which is great because it's so exciting to have so many different films tie into the same plot.
Well, so here's the thing. So,
a friend of mine from Barry says films.
Film. Here's the thing. So,
I don't get it.
Anyways, as it appears, the as-yet unreleased title for the third Captain America film, according to Joe Russo, who is one of the directors, has been in place in Kevin Feige's brain for about 10 years. It's all part of a giant roadmap he has planned out in a grand scheme of things. Now, he's explained that he says here, he was interviewed by Crave Online. It says here, I think the way Kevin does it is there are big pieces that he knows he wants to build towards, but the way that you get there is sort of open to interpretation and improv a little bit. So basically he's saying, you know,
it's all mapped out.
The grand, the big chunks mapped out. How you want to actually get there, it's up to the director.
Yeah, it depends on when the movie's being made, what kind of...
What kind of feel you want to have for it. You know, after watching, have you seen Captain America the Winter Soldier?
No.
Man, I got to lend it to you.
I swear.
I got to lend it to you.
Can you lend it to me?
I will.
Hey, Walt.
Chris, can you lend it to me?
You know what? Why don't I lend it to you?
Hey, Walt. Love that. What was the last superhero movie you saw?
The one with Daisy Duke in it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Daisy
she's got some superpowers.
How are her dukes looking?
I'm not sure what movie that would be, but man, I want to see it now.
Yeah.
So listen, they're talking about Captain America the third. They're talking about Avengers the third.
I'm Thurston Howell the third.
Basically, they're saying that it's still a big go.
Yeah, but yeah, okay. I kind of like this.
Okay,
and I think on this show we've talked about it before, and it's kind of just kind of reaffirming itself and stuff like that. Is never in the history of cinema has a grand experiment like this taken place?
No.
Where I mean, you have your franchises.
Yes,
you have your.
Star Wars.
What the hell is that crappy song that he plays for?
The National Lampoon.
Yeah, the vacation
holiday
stuff.
Holiday
Road. Listen, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. But this is completely different.
Let's try to milk this for a little more money, right? But this is kind of all like, 5, 6, 7 different properties.
Yeah.
All cross-meshing,
all interconnected.
Interconnected. Well, this is quite exciting.
It really is. You know,
unprecedented.
It is, absolutely.
Well, right. First of all, I play that song for love of the game, okay?
Sure do.
Honestly. Second of all, though, I actually do agree with you. It pains me to say so.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the culmination of all these different angles coming together to make a different joint effort. You've got
angles.
Yeah. Angles.
Remember Clap for the Wolfman?
Clap for the Wolfman.
Hey, baby, you got the curves and I got the angle.
Listen, Chris Evans, who is Captain America... They're talking about, because people are saying that Chris Evans maybe doesn't want to be Captain America anymore.
Why would he?
Why would
he at his 30 mil paycheck?
However, it says here, who's handing off the shield Don't take my job away from me prematurely. He says, I'm sure it'll happen at some point, but all things will have to come to an end, but I'm happy, really happy playing the character.
Yeah.
You know, I have seen him in interviews before, and he has often talked about wanting to direct more than being in front of the camera.
Nah, he's crazy. He
just doesn't want to be Captain. Don't call me Captain.
I mean, if
Red
you
Skull.
Don't call me Red Skull.
Captain.
All right, listen, this is, we got to get away from this. But talking
Sly
about,
fans will get that.
Yeah. Talking about other live action properties out there, Warner Brothers is doing great with all these live action shows. Now, I recently have gotten. Warner Brothers.
The ones that make.
DC.
Oh, right. Okay, those guys. Yeah.
So, I'm recently getting caught up on Arrow right now. Great series. Really is
I have not seen any of it yet.
Awesome.
I watched all of S.H.I.E.L.D. First season.
Yep.
I've caught up on all of that. I really want to get into Arrow. Just
Arrow's
just
awesome.
To preface the next season of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham. Gotham, which is
Preface.
Coming out.
You know what would be a good sponsor for
Preface.
Arrow? Arrow shirts.
Is the Arrow shirt company still around even?
Probably not, but that's all I had, Chris. I was trying to find a joke there.
Good job. Anyway,
you know
so listen.
You don't have to force it sometimes, Walt. You can just let it go.
You're right.
It's true.
Apologies.
Right. Listen.
Did I just kill that?
Chris, just talk.
Well, you
just
know
talk.
What?
Just
why do I even bother?
Yeah.
Who are you saying? Something about Arrow?
No, you know what? Forget
something
it. You
about
know
something.
No, we're going to go on to Guinness.
You
know Guinness World.
Oh,
no, no, we're no.
Marty
we're not,
and I tried a few Guinnesses
right.
over
we're not,
the weekend.
We're not, oh, we're not talking about Titans anymore. Forget it. We're going to move on to Guinness Names World Largest Comic Collection.
We're dead to him.
Yeah, you guys are dead to me.
May as well be. No one listens to us anymore.
We're going on to. So there's a guy in California who.
Some young guy.
Hey, Bob. That's a Chinese place that I order food from on Fridays.
He loves that place. 2015 edition of the Guinness World of Book Guinness Book of World Records names Bob Brettall of Mission Viejo, California, as the owner of the world's largest collection of comics.
That's a soft J.
He has shush. How about that?
Okay.
That's a you're a soft J.
Valero.
Anyways, 94,268 individual comics this guy has.
How much?
94,000.
And he doesn't own a store or anything. Like, this is an individual
a comic
guy.
He does not own a store, and he says each comic was purchased as an individual issue. There are no bulk buys.
No and no duplicates. No duplicates. So
no
he wasn't a guy
duplicates.
In the 90s
okay.
buying, like, 500 Superman,
Spawns
Death of Superman, or Spawn 1s
so
or
let
something.
So let me ask you a question. Does that sound right? And I'm only asking that is 94. Okay, 200 in a long box.
Yeah.
100 long.
250.
No, 200 in a long box.
Well, it depends how tight you stuff in there, Chris.
Yeah, Chris, you got to stuff it tight.
Yeah, so 250.
250,
you
got
to be able to finger, Chris. Yeah. You got to be able to finger.
Got
to
finger through there.
That's true, yeah. Okay.
So 250 in a long box.
Yeah.
So four long boxes is
1,000.
So 40 is 10,000. So you're looking at 400 long boxes.
Right.
Right. I'm thinking there's got to be guys with more
it's
than 400
more than that,
long
isn't
boxes.
400?
Yeah, 400 long boxes.
Yeah, but for an individual guy, where do you store that?
No,
you have to rent a place
are
to store
that.
That.
Right? Are you sure your
trust
math
me,
is right?
That's right. It's right. 400 long boxes.
You have to be able to store it.
Let me do this again. Let me do this again for Professor Owen.
Yeah,
here.
Oh, Professor Owen needs
four long boxes is a 1,000.
Yeah.
40 is 10,000. 400 is 100,000.
No, it's probably about 400 long boxes.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay.
So, guys got 400 long boxes. There's got to be guys out there with more than 400 long boxes.
No, oh, I don't know. Yeah, but does it count if you're a store?
No,
it doesn't.
400?
So, okay,
that's
so
a lot
there you
of
go.
Comics.
Yeah.
So, but, well, the people you know who have 400 long boxes are probably stores, or they sell online on eBay regularly or something.
This guy's a collector.
At my most, I had 15,000 comics.
And, Walt, remember.
That was a lot.
Walt, remember, no duplicates.
Yeah,
this is saying no duplicates
at
all.
I hear you.
So
I hear you, but
he said, and he says he's read 90 to 95% of them.
That guy's got too much time.
Wait, hold on.
You
know
married?
What?
I don't. It doesn't say.
Probably divorced.
Hey, no. If he's divorced, that means half of them went to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's him calling in right now.
Yeah.
He's calling in right now.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
He says he buys 140 new comics a month.
Wow.
And he says he bags and boards every single one of them.
He bags every one of them.
In 1,000 every 3 months.
Wow. Okay, not to be rude to this man, because I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I seen the picture. He's got a few good books up there and everything.
Okay.
Like that. But I'm thinking 98% of this stuff is kife.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And by kife, I mean stuff that you're buying at a nickel each
now
the market,
yeah.
like in volume.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, you think about all the books that he bought during the 90s and the 2000s. So it's like the deluge of books that came out.
Right.
And I can't see, you know, I'm sure I can't see it being worth, you know, the cover value for every single one of them.
Yeah. But then again, see, he's got some market cred right now. If he sold his collection as the world's largest comic collection.
But you're right. But then it says here down here on the bottom that this is the first time that Guinness has given out that award, and so now people are probably going to start to say, "Hey, you know, I've got the
there
largest.
Might be
I've
a couple
it.
Of the woodwork.
Mine's bigger.
Mine's bigger than yours.
Well,
bigger.
The issue of mine's bigger. You know what? Let's see what plays out in the next couple months.
Yeah.
You know, let's follow this and update the public on who's got the biggest.
Right. Listen. So hey, there's a competition. It's open game right
it
now.
Is, it is. It is. Listen, let's keep on going here. We're going to talk about Alan Moore.
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore. So
what about
Alan Moore,
I know that name. Why does
Alan
it sound
Moore,
familiar?
So now, Alan Moore, as you know, was a writer of comic books.
Right.
And he wrote Watchmen, V for Vendetta, lots of different things. From Hell.
League of Extraordinary Guys. Gentlemen.
Yeah, lots of different books out there. Yeah. Swamp Thing. So I feel like there's an echo in here.
Man-Thing.
No, I never wrote Man-Thing.
Giant-Sized Man-Thing?
No, I don't want to talk about your Giant-Sized Man-Thing right now.
I got a good collection.
I'm sure you do. Anyways, listen. Here's a guy that... he is an off-again, on-again kind of...
Christian?
No. He is like a wizard or something like that.
Pagan?
He's a wizard.
Pagan or...
Wiccan?
Yeah, I don't know what he does.
Warlock.
But, yeah, pretty much. He, he's done all those... Remember he's doing all those top 10 stories and, Gray Shirt and Promethea and all that stuff for Wildstorm for a little while there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he keeps on saying he's going to quit comics, and then something always seems
just to cold turkey
bringing him
quit.
Back in.
I'm done.
Remember he did Killing Joke as well back years ago. A lot of times what happens is he will submit a plot for a story, and someone will flesh it out. Mm-hmm. So he'll come up with an idea, and then actually will complete the actual storyline. So Avatar Press has announced that Alan Moore will write a new 6-issue miniseries set in the universe of Garth Ennis's horror comic Crossed.
Ike.
Yeah. So this is...
hold on. I think we talked about this before. What's your take on Crossed?
Crossed? It's disgusting.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it.
Maybe we're not just hip.
Well, okay, so hold on. So here's... what the press is saying. Moore is taking on a unique view on what most would consider an extreme adult-oriented horror property. Like, if you've ever read it, it's gory, it's disgusting, it's
nasty.
Got sex, it's got lots of violence, violence.
What's disgusting with sex?
No. The way you want to see it. It's just disgusting stuff.
Good thing I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So,
unless you enjoy having sex with severed appendages.
Yeah, all that kind of.
Wait, which appendages?
Okay. All right, keep moving. Keep moving before Schexter derails.
Yeah. It says here, he says, Moore's taking on this unique view. He says, I was thinking that Cross is actually a science fiction story that has got a really high horror quotient. So that was the way I started approaching it. I treated Cross as a what-if story, which is the premise of most science fiction.
Right, okay.
So
he's going
in
open-minded.
Good news for those of you out there who like Alan Moore stuff.
Uh-huh.
If you're a fan of Cross, I'm sure he's going to come up with something awesome. Awesome, I should say. And you know what? I will probably read this, but I feel like I need to get a little backstory on the whole Crossed
story themselves. Before that is a nice double of scotch.
That is true.
Which we recommend, by the way, for anybody listening to the show.
Yeah.
Before you turn it on,
to comic culture
just get
radio.
Comfortable.
Very true. Yeah. Very
have
true.
A few belts. And the listening experience.
All
will
right,
be,
listen,
a
couple of brown pops.
Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. Do you got anything set up for us there, Shecky?
You know I do, and you know it's a song I've never listened to ever in my life. But
well,
I'm willing to try it right now.
Now's a good time.
The Lone Ranger. Feet of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high of silver, the Lone Ranger. With his fearless Indian friend Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Walt.
Where does the Lone Ranger take his garbage?
Where, Walt?
To the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, to the dump, dump, dump,
dump, dump, dump. Ah, I love that joke. Listen, you know what? That's an oldie but a goodie.
Listen, I wonder. That's what I'm wondering.
What are you wondering?
Oh, that guy talks. Those guys in the 40s talk.
Lone Ranger!
Did they talk like that at home?
That would be hilarious if they did. You know, Hello, honey, I'm home. How are you?
They were meant to be on radio.
Yeah, you know, like they got that persona voice.
Yeah.
And here we are, folks, and this is Happy Hour.
Honey, that was a wonderful dinner tonight.
That was a wonderful dinner.
How about we go on up to the bedroom now?
Yes. What do you say we partake?
Yeah. Especially with like
for some dessert.
You know what? Especially with like sports broadcasters. And there's Gordie Howe then going into the corner now and feeds it
Foster
out
Hewitt
to
here.
John Beliveau. And,
yes.
Good old Foster Hewitt.
Hey, by the way,
who
is your favorite of all time hockey announcer?
Hockey announcer.
Yeah, game, play-by-play.
Because it has lots to do with
hockey. Mean Gene Okerlund.
Nice. I knew her. Knew her mother, actually. Danny Gallivan used to do the Habs games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Danny Gallivan's my favorite. Another homage to Montreal, because I'm trying to show my love for Montreal.
Right,
I'm trying
right.
to squeeze that one in. I apologize.
Yeah. You know who I actually like? Are all the really good baseball commentators.
Those guys
who go on tangents, they're not even talking about the game anymore. They're talking about stories.
Luckily,
they don't even commentate on the game.
Luckily for our listeners,
we never go on tangents.
No. Never.
Okay, well, what's next?
Okay, apparently, geez, he's going to have a conniption here.
We got one more sponsor.
We got a sponsor apparently,
this evening.
Felstein's going to have a conniption.
So the final segment to our industry news brought to you by Wizards and Warlocks. They may not be Christians, but they have beliefs too. So join us and get a free Harry Potter spell.
Nice. And you know what? Yeah. Here's a shout out to Alan Moore if he's listening. He can be on our show anytime he wants.
Yeah, Alan. Yeah. But just don't bring Assad. That guy's banned from the show.
Well, I'm feeling a little Bitterman.
Bitterman.
Listen, by the way, John Bitterman sends his love to you, by the way.
No, he doesn't. He's only bitter. Yes. He never sends love.
He does. He loves to be, he's a conundrum. He loves to be bitter.
I feel like you rosy it up
you
a little bit too much.
Don't know him very well.
Love you, baby.
We got to talk about Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of Spider-Man?
So, first of all, you know that Wolverine is dying.
Yeah, I heard.
Wolverine is dying.
He actually died already, no?
Well, yeah. Okay. I don't want to give it away to the listening audience.
We don't really
know. Give it away.
Well, there's a book out there called The Death of Wolverine.
Oh.
And
prophetic.
Prophetic. I know. It's it would be banished from the Marvel Universe for forever.
Wow.
As long as we know, he'll be forever gone. Death of Wolverine. Now, one of the questions that has been raised about what's going to happen with poor Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
What's going to happen to X-Men? What's going to happen to Wolverine and the X-Men?
Because wasn't he on that team?
It was Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah, see?
So now, Spider-Man, who is not a mutant, by the way, who was bitten by a radioactive spider.
Right, yeah.
It was indirect.
He was not born with those powers.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently, he's going to be taking over a role, and so it's going to be now Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Wait a minute.
I'm just telling you, like it is.
Spider-Man...
And the X-Men. Yeah. Doesn't that sound like a terrible band?
Yeah. Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Now performing live.
Yeah, the X-Men were all...
At the Congress Center.
All used to be in Wolverine's band. That's why they're called the X-Men. Hey, so here's my take on this.
Okay, what's your take?
This is a
beautiful, beautiful opportunity to preach tolerance and acceptance.
That is true.
To show that the mutant community... can accept lovingly and willingly a non-mutant.
That is true.
Into their ranks.
That is true.
Show him love and affection.
That is true.
And, you know,
love is in the air.
Everywhere I look around.
Everywhere I look around.
Whoa.
Hey, can I say something?
You interrupted a beautiful song.
Yeah, it was done. As Sheck, as the producer of this show, this fine show, so they're bringing Spider-Man in now, right?
Yeah.
With the X-Men and everything.
Yeah.
Remember how we were talking before the summer about how Marvel, with like Guardians of the Galaxy and everything, was trying to really space itself from the properties it doesn't really own for film rights reasons, for making any critical changes?
Yep.
Do you feel like this was like a timed, appropriate thing where, hey, you know what? It's past blockbuster season. We can now have some fun with Spidey. We can have some fun with X-Men. But you know what? Then right after Christmas again, we're ramping right up for everything non-Spidey, non-X-Men, stuff that we own, and we're going to forget about this crap, and we're going to let it fizzle out and die.
Crap.
Junk.
Yeah.
Like, who's Wolverine and who's the X-Men?
Could be.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
who's Spider-Man?
I feel like there's
He's
a certain,
dead to
like,
me.
No, hold on.
He's dead to me.
Hold on. I feel like there's a certain ebb and flow now, and now fall.
Ebb and flow.
I'm just saying, listen.
I really liked ebb and flow.
Yeah, ebb
remember
and
that?
Flow.
They
were number one in 78.
I know. I love their comedy duo.
They did Shake Your Groove Thing, Shake Your Groove Thing.
Come
yeah,
on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you ready? You done?
Oh,
you done with that?
Sorry.
Yeah?
I wonder if he knows what it feels like now to be cut off.
You should have been cut off
like,
about an
I know,
hour
so
ago.
True.
Like
I know.
In the trust fund. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But
is there a button on his mic?
There should be. I know.
You understand what I'm saying? Where I feel like the fall now will be a great time when Marvel explores the possibilities of the properties they've already licensed out after the fact, like after the blockbuster season, and they try and make their comics popular for like the 5 or 6 months, and then in the spring again they shift. Completely focused back to the properties they still own. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I'm
you're
literally
definitely
just
you're doing something here.
You may be onto something in a sense that you know the fact that Spider-Man, a non-Marvel property, is joining the X-Men, a non-Marvel property.
You know, I think you're reading way too much into it.
Yeah.
I think it's just a timely thing that you know what they wanted to do the death of Wolverine and
Chris. Listen. What? We got a little flipping 8 minutes to kill. I'm trying to stretch this thing out.
I'm just saying.
You know what?
I think there's nothing to it.
In this position, all you say is, hey, listeners out there, write in with your comments at comicbookdaily.com under the Comic Culture Radio Show comments box. That's all you have to say. Either they agree with me or they don't.
I was giving my opinion. And then I was gonna, say to the listeners that they could write in, but you just didn't let me.
You weren't gonna say that.
Sure, I was.
Yeah.
Why are you so mean?
Where were we in terms of
industry news?
Industry news is that topic over? Please,
I hope that topic is over. Yeah, I hope it's over. Listen, I want to talk about Titans.
Titans.
Like I was going to before, but before I was rudely interrupted.
I'm sorry.
Titans. Warner Brothers is,
Wait a minute. Same guys. You mentioned them before.
I have, as a matter of fact.
I'm trying to piece some things together. I think I'm onto something.
Okay.
Keep going, though.
Okay, new Teen Titans.
Yeah.
So, hey, for those of you in the know, so back in the 80s, believe it or not, there was a time period.
Yo, back in the day.
There was a time period where the new Teen Titans was actually more popular than the X-Men.
Yeah.
In the comics. In comicdom.
No.
It's very true. Yeah, it was way more popular.
When Ramon Perez was drawing them.
First of all, it's Marv Wolfman and George Perez.
George Perez. That's what I meant.
Back in those days, it was actually more popular than the X-Men. X-Men was still popular, but this was actually more popular, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
What was this story? The mid-80s?
In the mid-80s-ish, somewhere around there. Early 80s.
X-Men really found that groove in the early 90s when they had the cartoon
show
X-Men and everything.
X-Men was early 80s.
Early
so
80s. This was
big.
Early.
Late 70s, X-Men hit it big. Late 70s. Yeah.
But
X-Men saved the comic industry.
Think so?
Whoa. I feel like we're getting into new ground. We're breaking new ground here.
Do you really think
X-Men saved the comic book industry?
Absolutely.
Why is that? Why?
Well, the comic industry was on the brink several times in its history.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest shock came pretty well after the war. Was a big shock because
after the 40s war.
Yep. But the industry morphed into
Also known as World War II, by the way.
Industry morphed into crime, horror, smut, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then the second shock was the Wortham, the comic code.
Yep.
Which
55.
Yeah, which spawned the next generation of superheroes, which is like Fantastic Four would be the most famous one, changing the way comics are written. But you got to remember that Marvel Revolution of the early 60s ran out of steam by about 76.
Did it?
You read a Hulk, a Thor, or whatever, in like 1975, they were just flat dead. They had nothing. They were just brutal.
Look at X-Men.
Yeah.
After like issue 55? 66. Okay, sorry. Up until what issue was it?
93. Yeah.
They're all reprints.
Yes.
Because they had nothing else to do. So they just reprinted the old ones.
Right.
Right.
So what happened in 75, Marvel comes out with a new X-Men team. and replace in giant size X-Men number one. Yep. And then they take that team with Wolverine and they put him in to the X-Men
new,
title
all different uncanny X-Men.
At number 94.
Yeah.
But the way they wrote that X-Men series revolutionized comics. It was right around the time that the direct market was being established. Yep. And that basically carried our industry for close to 20 years.
Wow.
And the reason why New Teen Titans got popular is because it was on the back of the X-Men. DC reacted to X-Men with New Teen Titans, and for a while they stole their thunder by no means did it usurp it.
No.
Right? But for that brief time, you're right.
There was...
For that brief time, they were just as popular, if not than DC. Sorry, X-Men.
I feel like you actually have a little bit of knowledge.
Anyway, Warner Brothers is now going to order a pilot for Titans. It's going to be based on the 1980s DC comic New Teen Titans, and it's going to star the most popular print iterations of those characters, featuring Nightwing, Raven, Starfire, and Cyborg. Now, what's interesting here is it doesn't say anything about, like Batman's not going to be
Robin.
In it or anything like that. Yeah. Well, it's going to be Nightwing, which is kind of like the old Robin.
Yeah.
But... basically, it seems like Warner Brothers really hit the nail on the head with this whole TV thing.
Yeah.
Because they've got Arrow right now. They've got Flash coming out in the fall. They've got Gotham coming out in the fall. And now they're talking about having a Titans show.
Yeah.
It seems like they are awesome at doing TV, but not so good at doing movies.
Well, but they're trying to get better at doing movies. But the thing, though, is they realize what they're good at. And they're pushing what they're good at. Which is nothing wrong with that.
No.
But at the same time, trying to develop and figure out the movies, which they're also doing, right? They're not giving up on movies.
No.
They're trying to tackle huge projects. But they realize, hey, you know, we're ahead of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're ahead of, you know, those kind of TV things.
Yes.
So... We're going to keep adding another title to the stable but as an old comic guy, I would now encourage everybody to run out and look for the first appearance of Starfire, Cyborg, Nightwing, and Raven, but that's cool. You're right. It's cool that another comic book property and is making its way onto some other medium other than book. Or a cartoon.
Right. No, I agree.
Any kind of live action treatment of superheroes is cool.
It's awesome.
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or whether it's flipping a play like Turn Off the Lights. What the hell?
Turn Off the Dark, Spider-Man. Yeah. You know what's interesting is that it still seems like...
Turn out the lights.
You and I have been talking about this for years, about the fact that, you know... Comics, Hollywood, and the media are finally figuring out what we've known all along is great comic books are, right?
They're well into it now, though.
And I'm wondering how, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. So how many different, I mean, well, we can go, based on Bob Bretall's comic book collection, we can say that there's roughly 94,000 different comic book stories out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just really hitting the tip of the iceberg here as far as what is available in comicdom for stories. Really, there's thousands and thousands for Marvel and thousands for
DC.
But
the key is, and I'm going to say that the Guardians of the Galaxy is a great example of this. I don't think there's a formula. I don't think that there's an equation or an algorithm to figure out what translates well from sequential art into live animation. Sorry, live action.
No.
Right?
There's no formula.
So, you know, something like the Daredevil.
Yeah.
And hear me out.
Yeah.
Who you would think lends very well into live action because it's a hero that's not super fantastical.
Right, yeah.
It's cityscape. It's criminals. He's got cool
he's
powers.
Off
yeah,
of,
he's got
towers
cool powers
and, whatever.
And stuff like that. You'd think that that would lend itself well to a great story.
As opposed to Guardians of the Galaxy.
And I mean, they took a Frank Miller story, which was one of the classic stories in comics, the Elektra run.
Yeah.
And it didn't pan out.
No.
And then the Guardians of the Galaxy, which was kind of like for most comic
in
the know fluff, is kind of fluff.
Yeah.
It turns out to be the biggest thing since flipping Star Wars.
D-list characters, right?
Honestly, it is Star Wars of our generation.
Yeah. So I don't know if the Teen Titans will translate. Well, I hope they do. I hope they do.
You know what,
like,
though?
Arrow is kind of a marginal character.
Yeah.
But he seems to be doing well in live action.
Well,
so
well, yeah.
Is it the opposite? Is it if you're doing great in comics,
question, yeah.
you're going to do poorly? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, and the same could have been said for Howard the Duck back in the day.
Yeah.
Hugely popular comic, tried to do a movie, and it stunk.
Wow,
right?
Right.
Listen, that's all the time we do have for today.
All right.
Thank you for everybody for listening.
Comic Culture
there you go.
Is produced by Shecky Felstein, engineered by Chris Owen. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. And scroll down to the bottom, leave your comments. We're always on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and getthepointradio.com. And again, a great big shout out to all our friends in Montreal, especially Angelo and Tammy.
And please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.